Hello and welcome to the Red Robin Podcast, powered by Budget Ties Auto Centre and 360 Chartered Accountants, the independent Hulkings and Rovers podcast.
Welcome to everyone who's tuning in to this week's Red Robin Podcast Weekly, wherever in the world you may be. It's another bumper episode with the podcast being joined by Graham Tenner, who of course is a regular. He's joining me to discuss our defeat to the Catalan Dragons and our upcoming Challenge Cup quarter-final tie against Salford. And we also have former Robin Paul Cook giving his opinion on how the Robins have fared this season and why our recent run of results is no surprise to him. We've also got the squad news for ahead of our game against Salford, and we'll take a look at the newly formed supporter council minutes which have been released from the club. We'll have a look at that. Graham, a lot of doom and gloom at the moment. I think there's still lots of reasons to be positive. But the recent run of results is alarming in the fact that we haven't been accustomed to that this season so far.
Yeah, afternoon, John. Afternoon, everybody. Yeah, it's unusual for us given what's happened to us this season. I think I've been on here a couple of times this season and said, look, we've got to ride the wave when things are going well, because there will be a tough time soon. And look, we're in the middle of that now. We've got to, you know, everybody, players, staff, fans as well, have got to rally round, work even harder to get the boys over the line on Saturday. They'll be doing just the same as well. So we've got to do our bit as fans as well. So, yeah, tricky period, but nothing that we haven't seen or encountered before. And I'm sure, say, we can come out the other side stronger for it, and hopefully a little lull in the middle of the season and then looking forward to a strong end of the season finish.
Yeah, and I suppose, Graham, I mean, it's understandable why people will be looking at our recent run quite negatively, because it's coupled with a number of serious injuries that have occurred to players, which has resulted in them being out for long periods of time. And when you put the two together, it's not pretty reading. What I would suggest is, though, that we've seen enough from the Robins this season to give us hope that if they can put a run together again, which we've already done, if we can get another run together, that the Super League does open up for you. And yes, you know, people might not be happy about where we are at the moment and the results, but we've seen from a number of sides, you know, look at Lee, if you put results together, you know, you can soon shoot up that table. And I think that's the hope as supporters we've got to hang on to.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, hope isn't a plan. So we've got to be a bit more than just hopeful. We've got to, you know, we've got to be able to do it. Nobody gifts you 2 points in Super League. So, and you only have to see the way that Wakefield picked up a result last weekend. So, again, just in context, if you look at the teams we've just lost to in that run, Warrington, Wigan, Catalans, Salford. Now, we look at the league table. Where are they all in the league table? So it's not as if we're losing games to teams that are at the bottom of the league. Those are all top four, top six teams at the minute who are all playing pretty well. And we've come out on the back end of a golden point, you know, 6 or 7 points to Warrington, golden point to Wigan, a 10-point loss, which I think you alluded to was only last week, was only the second double-digit loss that we've made all season. And then, obviously, the Catalan game, I think, was a bit of a blowout in terms of scores. But performance-wise, in the defeats to Warrington and Wigan, I think most people would argue that they were good performances, albeit on the wrong end of the results. And even though against Salford at Magic, we were poor in our performance, up until 10, 12 minutes to go, we were still in that game and we could have snuck a result. And I think it'd been unfair if we had got a result, but we were still in it and still there. And then the last try in the last few minutes sort of tilted the scoreline well away from us. And then, yeah, few injuries. Catalans is a tough place to go. I'm sure you've got a lot to say having visited last weekend. But performance-wise, wasn't particularly great. Again, a bit of adversity in the game with things going on in the game that you don't necessarily plan for in your week of preparation and certainly your team talk regarding injuries, HIAs, etc. So you have to deal with adversity on the fly. And look, we came up well short, I think, on Saturday evening last week.
Yeah, and obviously it's the second time we've travelled over to the Catalan Dragons to face them this season. First time we set We made history, didn't we, by being the first team to utilise the 18th man after the Robin suffered three HIAs. Again, a bit more adversity when we play them on Saturday. The Robin's going down 38 points to 4. Corey Hall, the sole try scorer for the Robins. It was 20-0 at half-time, Graham. During the game, of course, we saw Jordan Abdul going off after just 20 minutes. I mean, there was so much pinned on him coming back into the side, wasn't there? You know, many supporters craving to see him back out on the side, fresh from signing a two-year contract extension. And it is difficult, isn't it, when the team's set up as it is, the game plan's set, and to lose your most influential game manager, your most influential player in the team after just 20 minutes, everything almost goes out the window.
Yeah, and that's where the coaches have to earn the money. You know, like I said, they'll have prepped all week in setting up, running players, etc., with Jordan in the squad, with the assets that he can bring to the team. And like you said, quarter of the game gone, and that plan is just ripped up. So how do we react? And that's where the coaches have to act on the fly there, because look, it's a contact sport. We know injuries can happen at any time. And yeah, you always have to have that plan B, plan C, sometimes plan D in your mind. So I'm sure they would have had something, but yeah, to lose an asset just after you've had him back after a fairly lengthy layoff already, to get him back in, you're just thinking, look, let's steady the ship, let's get him through this 18 minutes to get a game under his belt and come away unscathed. But lo and behold, 20 minutes in, he's believe it's a hamstring injury, if what's publicised is correct. And yeah, looking at, you know, a good 2 to 3 months potentially before we see him in the red and white again, which again is very disappointing. And if it doesn't go to plan, could effectively rule him out for most of this, the rest of the season, albeit just coming back in the back end, which if we're still in the hunt could be a good thing. But yeah, we've got to earn the right to get up there first.
Yeah, two more players who suffered injuries during that game as well. Sam Wood, he looks like he's played his last game for Hull Kingston Rovers. He's suffered an injury which is going to keep him out for at least 4 months. And one player who suffered a HIA, which probably sums up the look of the Robins at the moment, is Jack Walker, of course, making his Hull Kingston Rovers debut. We've seen Lachlan Coote play at fullback. We've seen Ethan Ryan play at fullback, both suffering injuries. And the curse of the fullback seems to bite us again, because Jack Walker goes off with a HIA and another key player in a key position, which just leaves your game plan, you know, it leaves it, you're not able to play the game that you set out to play, and you're just trying to compete. And I think that's something that's not lost on us, is that yes, these players try the hardest, but you know, a fullback going off, compounded by the fact your halfback's gone off, just makes it so much more difficult, Graham.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you say, you've highlighted there the key positions, your one and your seven, that you don't usually carry those replacements on the bench, so you have to readjust. And you mentioned the word there, curse. Again, it just does seem that number one jersey is cursed at the minute. And you look at the amount of concussion HIAs that Coots had in terms of number of weeks on the sideline this season for us, and you know, notwithstanding the hamstring injury as well. Obviously, Ethan Ryan a few weeks back getting a broken jaw, etc., which effectively has ruled him out for the season. Jack Walker, again, a round peg in a round hole effectively for us. And we saw the impact he had when he joined the Black and Whites last season on debut, had a wow of a game against us when they were down and out. So we were, you know, looking forward to that potential prospect. But that, again, the rug got pulled out with that one. So again, yeah, it does seem to be a position that is cursed for us at the minute. And I'm not quite sure what the answer is to, you know, to be able to alleviate. Injuries are part of the game, obviously, but there are certain ones that are cropping up, like all the HIAs and people failing them, that it's becoming too common in the game now, that people are missing weeks, the best players are on the pitch, yeah, week in, week out, because they are getting these days, and player welfare and safety is absolutely paramount. But I think there's a huge piece in the game to discuss to try and minimise these, because there's far too many each week where players are sat on the sidelines because of the protocols, which are absolutely the right thing to do. But can we stop these happening in the first place? And it's a huge question because it's not always the defender's fault. The HIA has happened. It could be a poor technique from you as a tackler, rather than somebody smashing you around the chops when you've got ball in hand. So yeah, huge discussion point. We could probably sit and talk all afternoon on a podcast about it. And I don't know what the answer is, but it seems to be a little bit of a rubber in that particular department at the minute.
Yeah, and one player who was very fortunate not to suffer an injury was Mikey Lewis on the back of the Mitchell Pearce tackle, if you can call it a tackle. I mean, anyone who's had the opportunity to watch that back and see the hit that Lewis suffered, absolutely outrageous. The on-field match officials adjudicated that that Mitchell Pearce could stay on the field. There's no yellow or red card issued for the tackle. Subsequently, the match review panel have now issued a three-game suspension, which will only benefit somebody else. It won't benefit the Robins anymore. And when you see tackles like that go on, Graham, and you don't see any punishment rendered by the match officials, it's hugely frustrating. And Mikey Lewis, if he had gone off injured, it'd be quite understandable because of the how poor technique Mitchell Pearce implemented. It was a crazy tackle. And it is frustrating, Graham, isn't it, when you see match review panel acts and you look back at the game and you go, why couldn't they have seen it at the time and done something about it there and then?
Yeah, and again, I think it's a debate that Willie Peters flagged up post-match was around there needs to be some on-field assessment, i.e. video review, at every single game, because that incident shouldn't go unpunished and he'd be allowed to continue. If it's that serious and he's got three matches out the back of it, it wasn't an incident that just occurred. It happened. It could have had serious consequences for Lewis, which again could have been him out of action for weeks for us. And like you say, Mitchell Pearce gets to play the rest of the game unpunished. Catalans benefit from that. We get, we potentially lose a player on the back of it. And there's no repercussion at the here and now. It's all done via match review. So that decision, I think, if that was a TV game, I think Pearce would have at least yellowed, possibly redded on that particular incident once it had been viewed by the match review, the video referee on the day. Now, it might not have affected the result of the game as such, but at least Catalan would have been penalised there and then for it, rather than still having the player on the field.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you look at the game overall, Graham, and you look back at the... I won't call it a highlights reel because if you're looking through red and white glasses, there weren't many highlights. Corey Hall's try was outstanding. I think that's got lost in the scoreline a bit. Fantastic effort from him. What worried me though, Graham, is when you look at the tries that Catalan scored, there was almost our own doing in enabling them to do that. And then there was very uncharacteristic tries that the Robins conceded when defence has been one of our strong points for most of the season so far.
Yeah, I think I've highlighted this point as well. What we're seeing now stands out like a sore thumb to us because we've not been seeing it all season. And the one that really stood out for me was where, I think it was McMeekin, carried four or five bodies over the line and still managed to dot down. It was like, that should never happen. One versus four or five, and it wasn't... it was carried them over. It wasn't as if he just fell over the line. That was very, very unlike us this season. And like you say, we've seen ourselves be very strong in the defensive department most of the season. So to have these tries scored against us, it raises questions about, well, what's changed week on week? Is it our attitude? Is it our effort levels? Is it our, the players coming in aren't attuned to what's going on? But some of those you would class as basic fundamental errors rather than outstanding attacking play. It was like you said there, a bit more of our own doing and gifting Catalans the opportunities rather than them undoing us with fantastic play.
Yeah. And if we summarise the Catalan game, Graham, it was just... It was just, I'd call it a bit of a horror show, really. And not necessarily due to, because Rovers put in a really ranked performance, but just so many variables which seemed to conspire to go against the Robins on Saturday. And yes, we know Catalan is a tough place to go. They seem to be very good at playing very close to the rules and being able to influence match officials and do the things that other teams might get pulled up for. But hey, that's the game, and if they're able to do it, then we've got to find a way. Other teams have got to find a way of being able to counter that. So
yeah, you made the point last week, Jono, where the match official has seen, you know, fit to award the decisions that they've given. But you go back to the week before where you made the point of we were giving the match official choices to make, yeah. And they may be very close to the line. The home advantage, you know, they're a partisan crowd. Like, look, so we get on the refs' back and we make our voices heard at Craven Park. So that I don't think is any different to how we operate. We sometimes, I feel, are a bit too nice and not aggressive enough. And look, if you get pinged for something, then you've got to ease back. The referees set the marker down there. So don't give them the decisions to make. But on the same token, don't be too nice that people just walk through you.
No. Well, I caught up with former Robin Paul Cook just yesterday, actually, Graham. He gives us his views on Rovers so far this season. He talks about the defeat to Catalan, and he also talks about how he predicted that Rovers might fall off at some point. And then he gives his reasons and he gives a bit of advice for Willie Peters. So it's a really good listen. Let us know what you guys think about Paul Cook's opinions and what he says, because it is a really interesting listen. Paul, it's great to have you on the Red Robin Podcast Weekly once again. Rovers, 15 rounds in, quarterfinals of the Challenge Cup. Some people see it as a bit of doom and gloom at the moment. Some people give him plenty of reasons to be positive. Where do you think the Robins are after 15 rounds of Super League?
Probably where I expected them. I thought, over the last month, what you've seen is that they've lost four games, but they've dropped from third to seventh. And unfortunately, with the condensed nature of the league, then that's possible. We've also seen a number of teams that have won three or four on the bounce and have propelled themselves up into either the playoffs or playoff contention. So I thought the difficulty for me, without sounding doom and gloom, is I know how hard they went pre-season, so I knew they was going to start the season well. There's a number of reasons that teams go the way that they go. I mentioned it this week. When I was at Lee and we was promoted in 2016, we went hard after the season early. First 12 games, I think we won 7 of 12, and then we fell off a cliff. And I think as a coaching staff member and as a coach, I knew that would happen, because the teams that plan to build into their season are the teams that are going to be up there at the end of the season. So a little bit like St. Helens and Wigan. I know Warrington started really well this year, and I think they went after pre-season because they knew that Daryl Powell knew they needed to start well after a poor season last year. So I feel it's, whilst it looks like they've fallen off the edge of a cliff in the last month, it doesn't come as a surprise to me. But the problem with it is that there is a lot of injuries. So I just think that they are where they are for a reason. And the last four games kind of magnifies that. If they'd have lost one or two earlier on in the season and still been seventh today, I don't think people would be taking it as such a negative. It's because they've lost four on the trot, and that's really difficult. And it's difficult then to turn around that form. The injury certainly isn't helping, and it won't help. And there's Willie Peters has gone in the press and said they're looking to outside to bring players in. You can see the reasons why. They're missing some of the big players. But as well as that, this week, Jono, this week is a massive chance for them because it's a playoff knockout football game. And there's no second chances. Whereas, you know, the last four losses have come at, there's another chance to get back on the arse in Super League, whereas this week there isn't.
Yeah, and I mean, Rovers at the start of the season, Paul, were probably, there was a lot of goodwill towards them for going into pre-season so early, bringing across the Aussie lads early, yeah. Getting the boys back in. I mean, you couldn't probably, I mean, unless you're in and around the camp for seeing what was going to happen in terms of the injuries, et cetera, et cetera. It's really hard, isn't it? Because how do you set up a pre-season sometimes? Because one of the criticisms of Rovers in the past has been, we just haven't looked fit enough. So you have a head coach who comes in, brings a different pre-season regime in, gets the players fit. But then obviously the knock-on effect of that is that you maybe peak at the wrong time of the season.
Yeah, and that is the difficulty. The difficulty is, and it's hard for Willie Peters because Willie, no disrespect to, he's come from an NRL environment where you cast a net and you pull in a million fish in terms of players. So you've always got quality players and a salary cap over there, which is quadruple what we have over here. So you've got a real opportunity over there to be able to bring in players of similar quality from underneath in different reserve grades. You know, it's not ideal for us in this country that we haven't got the reserve grade system. We haven't got the youth system. We haven't got the conveyor belt of players that come through systems as in the NRL. And Willie's come over, and this is not a direct shot at him in any which way, shape or form, but you've got to learn to manage your best players over here. So you've got to learn to be able to manage them. And I understand the criticism of, you know, it's clear to see when you look at Hull KR or looked at Hull KR, yeah, they don't look fit enough at times. And yes, they haven't looked this at times. But let's not forget, a couple of years ago, there was 80 minutes from making Old Trafford. There was 80 minutes from going to a Challenge Cup final. It's really difficult, but you've got to be able to manage how you plan and your strategic plan into pre-season. I don't take no joy in this, but I sort of thought that they would fall off the edge of a cliff a little bit. And I didn't know when it would come, but I also know you can't keep hammering players day in, day out and week in, week out to make them fitter and then think they're not going to break in this country and then think you'll be able to manage it without going to outside influences in terms of loans because there just isn't the player pool over here. So it's not a direct shot at Willie or anybody else. It's just it takes much more managing, in my opinion, over here than it does for the NRL coaches.
Yeah, and I am surprised, to be honest, that we've got to this situation now, Cookie, where, you know, the club are having to look at bringing players on loan, short-term deals. I mean, we've already seen a swap deal with Dagger going to Wakefield and, of course, Corey Hall coming in. Mm-hmm. We've seen Jack Walker come in from Bradford to the end of the season. I mean, it's a far cry from the start of the season, isn't it? When we look so settled, the squad was almost two players in every position. Yeah. You know, we look to have some real depth in the squad. And it's a shame now we've got to a point where we're scrambling around to hopefully bring in players who are better than what we've got. But we're almost scrambling to get players in the right positions. And when you look at the fullback situation, Ethan Ryan injured, and then to have the replacement in Walker injured as well. It is a bit of a crazy situation that we found ourselves in.
Yeah, and I can understand why, you know, you can. For me, I can understand the Will Dagger situation. I can understand that they've got Lachlan Coote, PLT, Ethan Ryan, and then obviously they had Will Dagger as well, who can play fullback. And yet, I use this analogy all the time. You're spinning four fullback plates in a salary cap sport when you don't need four. So it's easy to see why that deal was done. What's difficult right now is Coote's gone, Ryan's gone. You're losing Abdul for long periods of time when Milnes is already gone. Your Jesse Sue's gone for 16 weeks. Batchelor's gone, possibly for the season. So you're looking then at back row and thinking Lynette's your next choice, is your choice. You could move Sue into the back row if Batchelor was injured, but you're missing now both of them. It's just a real tough position to be in, and you're looking at outside influences, and you can understand Hull KR doing so because they're missing so many players in each position. So you can understand why they go out and get a Jack Walker, who's a genuine fullback, because they're missing the top two in Coote and Ryan. So it's a fire cry, but everybody starts off a level playing field in pre-season. There's not too many players that come back injured or a required surgery that see him out of the pre-season. I'm not sure whether Hull KR had too many players that was on the treatment table in pre-season. I dare say there wouldn't have been too many, but you can't, you know, it may be a lesson for Willie this year where he pulls back a little bit on pre-season next year, or he tackles it a little bit different. And you only ever get that Jono, by experiencing it and understanding it and going through it. And it's still not all doom and gloom. You're still going to get players back, OKR. They're still going to get boys back on the field and become better. It's about, not in terms of damage limitation, in terms of not losing results by so many. It's in terms of trying to get a couple of wins on the board when you've not got your best team on the field. I was fortunate enough to be at the Leeds and St. Helens game the other week, where Saints played probably a 3 out of 10 in terms of performance, but they managed to get a win in Golden Point with the last kick of the game. And then for the last 2 weeks, they've been the Saints of old and they've blown teams away. But had they lost that game and put the emotional energy that they had into that game and not come out with anything when they were so close to Leeds, Leeds had a player sent off, then I'm not sure we'd have got the same results for St. Helens the next 2 weeks. Contrast that to Leeds. Leeds have come out and lost against the bottom two teams in the last 2 weeks. You know, and Hull KR are in a position now where they've got to come out and fire some bullets and win against teams and try and get results when they've not got the best team on the field. And that's what makes your team the most consistent in the competition, because you can't play well every single week. You can't always be at your fittest every single week or your strongest every single week. You've got to be able to pull back in certain areas on the training field because you need your best team on the field and you need to try and get wins.
Yeah, and we talked about in pre-season about how competitive Super League could be this season. I mean, you have to look at the top seven to see how many teams are vying for there. Suppose the surprise in there, Cookie, is Lee. Nobody would have probably predicted that Lee would be where they are in the table, and they're there quite rightly on merit. And it shows you that if you do get a good run of results together, it can take you up that table like a rocket.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, with Lee as well, and we've said this about Salford for a number of seasons, they've not had too many injuries in key positions. No, and when you contrast that to Hull KR losing two fullbacks, losing Jordan Abdul for an extended period of time, you're looking at two of your key positions that are not filled by your best, or the player that you've, some of your players that are paid the most money. Lee have also got an halfback in there who is a genuine NRL halfback, I believe. Who could play in the NRL and get into an NRL team is even today. I'm not sure there's too many teams in the competition that have got that, let alone a team that is like Lee, who are, let's be honest, exceeding all expectations, including probably their own owners in Derek Beaumont. But you're right. If you get it right and you get it right consistently and you get it right with your key players and you scatter around some real experienced players, when you look at the experience of Hardacre and Tom Briscoe particularly. Then you've got, Latelli, who was arguably the best centre in the competition last year, who's added to that. They've got a heck of a squad around the NRL halfback. Ben Reynolds has played brilliant. Edwin Ipap has been a revelation. You know, them three key positions particularly have taken Lee to another level. So, yeah, it's very much achievable, but it's not always easy. And when you keep them best players on the field, generally, your consistency and performance stays somewhere near its best.
Yeah, and I think one of the big problems for Rovers is it's not just the injuries, it's the fact that these injuries are occurring during games where you're suffering two and three injuries at a time in key positions. I mean, the Catalan game, obviously Jordan Abdul goes off after 20 minutes. We see Walker go off. I mean, two real key spine positions. And it's not the first time this season. We've seen it on numerous occasions where key players have gone off. And as a player, Cookie, I mean, you go out with your game plan, the coach sets you up, but when you lose pivotal players, it's very hard to then react to that and come back from it.
Yeah, even more so as well, as you say, with the key positions of, you know, you look at, you don't just replace Jordan Abdul with a Rowan Milnes off the bench, because you wouldn't put Rowan Milnes on the bench. You wouldn't expect to lose Jordan Abdul. And they're not just like, this isn't just a strain, is it? It's not just a hamstring strain, similar with Jesse Sue. This is a hamstring tear, which is going to be minimum 6-8 weeks or so. Jesse Sue's even worse, 16 weeks. It's a full hamstring tear, which was an awkward one. Sometimes you just can't legislate for things like that. Jack Walker's HIA is an unfortunate one. Then you've got Mikey Lewis, who cops one from Mitchell Pearce. In retrospective action, he's now received 3 matches for that. That doesn't help Hull KR on the day either. So there's lots of things that have conspired against them. it's just a it's a real learn, isn't it? It's a real experience, and it's they've been on such an upward curve and remained so consistent throughout the first sort of 15 weeks of the season that you hope that they can get this really tough period and come back fighting towards the end of the season. Because again, and I'll say this, the positive is that the Challenge Cup and the Grand Final isn't won for another at least month, 6 weeks, even longer for the Grand Final and the playoffs campaign beginning. So if you can get your best players back on the field, then you've got a real chance anyway, as long as they can get themselves into that six, or at least they can get themselves through this Challenge Cup quarterfinal when they're down on numbers.
Yeah, and I mean, as supporters, we all have short memories, I suppose. And when Willie Peters came into the club, he was in on a 3-year contract, and he said, you know, don't expect miracles straight away. There's a process to go through to get there. But the early season form obviously lifted expectations.
Exactly that. So what you've got is and not only early season form from the team, but then from outside of the group, you had pundits, you know, saying, listen, they're a genuine chance this year if they continue the way they're going. It's a little bit, I don't say tongue in cheek, but it's not, because that's the experienced pundit's position at the time. But you've got to understand that it's a long season.
Yeah.
And it's a long season from November when you come back in, let alone when they came back in sort of September, October time. I think they came back in middle October or late October, Hull KR. So when you consider they've done 10, 12 weeks before a ball's kicked, and then the ball's kicked and they've done 10, 12 weeks again. So there's always a lull in there somewhere. You know, the players start off pre-season and they want to be back in because they've had enough of being off in the off-season. Then it gets to a point in the pre-season where, geez, this is a grind every day. I've got to get myself mentally through this. And then it starts when a ball's kicked. They're really ready for a ball to be kicked, competitive rugby league again. 10, 12, 14 weeks in, you get to a position as a player where you need a break, or you need to, you know, refresh, recharge. And OKR have not got that luxury. They've not got the luxury of being able to leave out a key player thinking they can get through a game and win a game without them key players, because they're already missing. So they've just got to try and get the best team that they can on the field, as opposed to keeping the best players on it.
Yeah. And the Robin tried a different approach with Catalan. They stayed over for a few extra days prior to the fixture to obviously come acclimatise. I know Willie Peters wasn't a fan of the trip back in March, I think it was, when there was sort of in and out, delayed flights, and whatever method teams employed to get over Catalan and try and get a result for Rovers. It doesn't seem to matter whatever they do. They just can't find that magic formula over recent seasons.
Well, I'll go back to not only Hull KR. How many teams have won at Catalan this year? I can't think of any off the top of my head. There might be one, but there won't be many that go there and win in France, regardless of which way you go about it. You could fly in on the day, fly back out with no delays whatsoever, and still have your backside handed to you by 40 points because they're that good a team.
Yeah.
And then, there's a bit of a blueprint in there with Catalan, I think, because Steve McNamara's done a magnificent job now of bringing through young French players. Arthur Morg being probably the pick of the bunch. At the beginning of the season, they went to Wigan on a wet, cold Friday night and won. And there won't be many teams that do that, depleted and down on numbers without the key players that they had, that can do that. So the ability to be able to bring in real, genuine quality through your system, youth system, that can play first grade when you're genuine first grade superstars like your Coots and your Abdul's, who are the highest paid players who play in the key positions, aren't playing, is a real difficult job to achieve. And Catalan have achieved that. They've really achieved that. And they've brought through some now French players that come into the team and genuinely fill the boots and the big boots of genuine superstars that aren't playing for them. So there's a real blueprint there for Willie Peters and any other club as well that are looking at developing your own youngsters to be able to handle the rigours of Super League week in, week out.
Yeah, and going back to John Abdul, I mean, no doubt an absolutely fantastic player. He's provided some magic moments for the Robins, especially in the early part of this season. Yeah. I suppose one of the criticisms that's levelled at
him is that he doesn't get out on the pitch enough.
Well, sorry. It's something that we had a conversation about in the pre-season, Jono, wasn't it? About it's okay having Abdul and Lewis that are genuine Super League players in your team. It's another thing getting them on the field, because Jordan missed a massive chunk last year with a quad injury.
Yeah.
And he missed a lot of weeks. And it's magnified by you being a top earner and a halfback or a pivotal player. If you're not on the field, you genuinely missed. And if you're not on the field for a number of weeks, then people are left scratching their heads, including your own fans, are left scratching their heads saying, well, what are we paying the guy for?
Yeah.
And I'll speak, there's another halfback, and I've mentioned him a couple of times in the last few weeks. Huddersfield are really playing poorly, and they're learning to deal with expectations. I've read this week what their coach Ian Watson said. £13,500 per game, Theo Fags has earned.
Right.
So £13,500 a game because he's not been on the field.
Yeah.
That's pro match per salary. Now, unfortunately, you're left scratching your head as a supporter saying, well, is the £13,500 per game better spent on another four players and not having Fags in our squad that will make a difference to us week in, week out, instead of it being on a £13,500 per game pro rata? And nobody wants to be injured. Nobody wants to be off the field and on the treatment table. But ultimately, your record sits there and it speaks for itself in terms of injuries. And it's a real tough one, because when Jordan is there or Mikey is there, it's really noticeable when they're not there. Noticeable to Hulk when they're not there. Particularly when Rohan Milnes isn't available to play as well, because you're then trying to move, you know, round pegs into a square hole or square pegs into a round hole.
Yeah, and you mentioned Mikey Lewis. I mean, the fullback situation is, we're all scratching our heads at who will play there against Salford. Corey Hall filled in there against Catalan Dragons. Willie Peters has already spoke about how Mikey Lewis could fill in there. But for me, I don't know about you, Cookie. Would you be resisting all edges to put Mikey Lewis at the fullback position based on the fact Abdul won't be around?
Well, it depends on which way you want to run your team and how you want to play. Because if you're going to try and get the ball to an edge and get your ball into your fullback's hands, Lachlan Coote then finds a pass on the end of the line. Ethan Ryan is more of a runner than a passer. Then you've got Corey Hall, who is more of a runner than a passer. And you've got Mikey Lewis, who can go in there, who's a passer as well as a runner. So it depends how you're going to attack the opposition. I'm always reluctant to move genuine halfbacks to fullback without having another genuine halfback to play halfback. You're moving such a specialised position to another specialised position, and you're bound to lose something somewhere. So it's a tough one. I mean, what's happened to PLT is, Matt, well, you know, he's in the squad. Is he not fit? Is he injured? Is he not playing? Or can he not play fullback? Is he not?
Well, I wondered, Cookie, if over since Willie Peters has come in, whether he's been earmarked for that halfback position more than fullback.
Well, then there's a reason to move Mikey Lewis to fullback if he's going to be a genuine halfback for you. That's really dangerous, though, isn't it? Because you're also then playing against the arguably the best attacking team in the competition at getting the ball to an edge in Salford this year. And if he gets it wrong defensively, whoever plays at halfback, three in from the sideline, if you get that wrong defensively, then Ryan Briley will be skating around you. If you get too tight to your back row, he'll be skating around you. If you get too wide, they'll hit the genuine back row on a lead and he'll go through. Got some great back rowers, obviously, Sam Stone on one edge. So it's they are a real difficult team to play against. Callum Watkins on the other edge, even probably better than Sam Stone. So it's a real tough one this week, because you're playing against a team, one that beat you 2 weeks ago and should have been winning at half-time by 20-plus points, the chances that they bombed. OKR went in leading, and then eventually Salford got them. A couple of injuries second half. But if they do get it right, we've seen them rattle up 30s, 40s, 50s, even 60 points to the neighbours across the river this season.
Yeah, and it's going to be, the conditions are going to be very similar when we face Salford on Saturday in terms of the weather. We've got the early kickoff factored in as well. So it's almost a carbon copy. Obviously, the personnel out on the pitch might be slightly different. And Rovers fans, you know, we only have to look back to that defeat to Salford to see what their attacking abilities are. One position that's,
many supporters are talking about is that right wing spot. We've seen Sean Kenny-Dowell moved across out there. Sam Wood, he's played there. One player, though, just doesn't seem to be getting a look at the moment is Lewis Senior, who is an out-and-out right winger. And in a team where we seem to be lacking pace at the moment, Cookie, you know, I just wonder what he seems to have done wrong to not be considered for that position just yet.
Yeah, me too. I mean, you're asking the same questions, and unless you're inside the organisation or you have some inside knowledge of, you're not quite sure what it is. Am I right in saying, is he leaving the club at the end of the year?
No, he's got another year.
Another year on his contract. Yeah. So I wonder whether that might be a reason. It's Sam Wood who's leaving, isn't he?
Yeah, it's Sam Wood, which is
that could have been a reason. Or there's an element of he's not training well enough, or he's not he doesn't trust him. You know, I'm not sure. It could be a number of reasons, but again, you're always left scratching your head at why you've got a specialised position or a player in your squad in a specialised position and you don't put him in there and you move someone who's maybe a centre to the wing, which isn't a massive jump in terms of, you know, moving one more position out. There's more of a positional change when you've got to get back for kicks or on the end of the line. Do you stay up? Do you go back? You've got to be able to catch high balls. You've got to be able to get up and above and compete with the cross-field kicks and stuff like that. So there's always that element. But yeah, I think I'm like you, and I'm like many others, where you're left scratching your head. You've got a genuine right winger or a genuine winger in your squad of players, and you're moving centres to the wing, or you're looking elsewhere outside of the club to bring in another winger.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see what happens on Saturday, of course. People listening to this now, this was recorded before the squad announcement. Salford are going to be pretty much at full strength.
Yeah.
Cookie on Saturday. I think Andy Acker's he'll have passed his HIA, so he should be available. I suppose one of the biggest problems, Cookie, from Rovers' injury situation is that lack of cohesion, what's within the team now.
Yeah.
So we saw a settled side at the start of the season, players playing in the correct positions, partnerships built, etc., etc. And yes, injuries do play a key factor, but it's that cohesion that we lose on the back of the injuries, which is so important.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I said about the Lee and the Salfords of this world. They've not had too many huge injuries to be able to worry about. You know, if you're missing an Akers, you can deal with missing an Akers for a week or two because you've still got Sneed and Croft and Ryan Briley. If you're missing two of them, then you've got a little bit more of an issue. And there's teams that haven't had that and haven't had that for a couple of years. And when they do go through that, Johnny, when they do go through that, you'll see a noticeable difference in their cohesion with the ball in hand. Defensively, they'll get it wrong. They'll lose games that they're expected to win or were expected to win before a ball was kicked. And it sort of snowballs. And Salford are really dangerous to me. They're a really dangerous team because they do attack really well with all three of the pivots. They move the ball well. They all have a genuine role within their team with the ball in hand particularly. And defensively, they've become a tough nut to crack as well. Mm. You know, they've become a team which are genuine top six contenders every single year. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough one for Hull KR at the weekend. But it's a knockout game. And I know when you've got home advantage in a knockout game, and I've played for both Hull FC and Hull KR in them, the tough places to come, Hull. And if you can get it right on the day, and there's nothing to say that Hull KR can't get it right on the day, brought home by a really passionate crowd, as we know that they are at Craven Park. So, yeah, anything can happen.
Yeah, and lastly, Cookie, I mean, the Lachlan Coote situation, obviously very sad to see him go off with another HIA against Salford for that Magic weekend. Obviously a big question mark now over whether he's going to continue with his career. Obviously he's announced he's going to retire at the end of the season. He's probably looking at his options and whether he wants to carry on. I suppose from the business side point of view, though, Cookie, if he is going to decide to go early, then it does free up salary cap space, a quarter spot, and it presents an option for the Robins, especially when you look at Oliver Gildart not playing for the Dolphins at the moment. Petr Hickel, yes, he started every game, but by all accounts, they've got plenty in reserve. So it does throw up a few options if he decides to retire. But, of course, we wish him all the best and we hope he makes the right decision for him and his family. But it is an important decision that needs to be made pretty soon, really.
Yeah, and without throwing pressure on him, you're throwing pressure on him, aren't we? And I understand that completely from yours and the club side and the business side point of view. What's really sad for me is he missed the World Cup through a head injury last year. He knew that this was going to be his last season. And ultimately, and I mentioned this last night on local radio, was it wasn't a huge hit and a huge collision, which meant he came from the field and failed the HIA. So there's clearly some issue, you know, in there. And you only get one brain. And I know some of us have a little bit more brain than others, and me not so much at times. But you got to protect it, and you got to protect it for the welfare of yourself, your own health and well-being, but also the health and well-being of his family, his wife, his children, you know, and anybody else that's part of his immediate family. So I personally think if he was close enough to making the decision not to play on again this year and miss the World Cup last year, then I personally think he'll come to the decision that he won't play anymore. And if he does, you're right, it frees up a number of options. But ultimately, whatever decision he makes, you hope that he makes it with the right intentions for him, his family. And if he does play on, then he comes back onto the field and makes a difference to OKR, as he has done throughout his time here and in the UK and in Australia. So wish him very much all the best with whatever decision he makes, and he'll be at peace with it. But as a KR fan, as you are and many are, and a business side of KR, you know, you want players on the field that can make a difference. And if he's not going to play, then the exploring the options, as you've just mentioned, you know, comes into play.
Yeah, and it's ironic, really, because, I mean, when we signed Jack Walker, I said to my mate, I said, look, I hope we don't see him play this season. Because if he doesn't play, it means Lachlan Coutts, you know, played pretty much every game, which is what we want to see at the moment. So, yeah, some honest conversations to be having, some big decisions to make. Cookie, just for you personally, have you got any training for the Steve Prescott challenge that you're doing?
Yeah, listen, really, really working hard on that. Just looking forward to making a difference in a small way. Again, obviously, the legacy of the great man lives on. Looking forward to the weekend and Hull KR. I'm at the game at the weekend, so I'm looking forward to getting there and watching that and as much rugby league as possible. But yeah, really just enjoying life at the minute. The weather's great, everything's great, and just very chilled out.
Yeah, and 2 points for the Robins on Saturday will make things all that much greater as well, Cookie. But no, it's been really enlightening talking to you again, mate. I really appreciate it coming on the podcast and sharing your views. And hey, look, hopefully next time you come on, we're talking about 6 victories in a row, 7 victories in a row, and a semi-final spot in the Challenge Cup.
Absolutely, and it can happen. Listen, you know, as much as it seems doom and gloom at the minute because they're off the back of 4 results, which have been poor, winning 4 out of 6 makes a massive difference. And, you know, this Saturday, the Cup game, I think it's the best game for them. I think it's the best game for them because there is no second chances, and you often find that you go to a darker place and you manage to be able to get through it in these knockout football games. So, you know, we certainly wish that OKR can win this game and get into the semi-finals and see who they get. Possibly a Lee semi-final. You know, they're gonna play York in the quarterfinals. So, you know, that'd be another great matchup should they get through.
Graham, I always like listening to Cookie. He talks a lot of sense, very measured in his opinions, and does give us some insight and you know, he's not afraid to say what he thinks. And interesting, he mentioned about pre-season and how he could almost predict that Rovers would maybe fall off a cliff a little bit due to the fact that they was in so early and Willie Peters is working them so hard. And, you know, who knows? Maybe it is a reason why some of the players' injuries are what they are, and you'll never know 100%, but it was interesting to get that perspective on it.
Yeah, absolutely fascinating that one, John. I like listening to Cookie. As you say, he's been there, he's done it as a player, as a coach, etc. And to be able to pass on some of his insider knowledge, if you like, of the inner workings of clubs and coaches' meetings and you know, the way of thinking of approaching games, of approaching blocks of games, of approaching the season. The bit he talks about where Lee front loaded their attempt in Super League a few years back, you know, it's called periodization, and I think that is a great shout there of how we've invested a lot in the upfront part of the season, and the fact that this is, you know, happening now shouldn't shouldn't be a surprise, I don't think. And it probably is because we were expected it to go on forever and a day. You know, wishful thinking. But you look at the teams that have won things, I guess, Saints aside, not everybody is fantastic every single week. There are blips in the season. There are blocks of time in the season where you do suffer injuries, poor form, suspensions, etc. Sometimes they all come at once, and it just feels like at the minute we're in the middle of that rut. But yeah, fascinating to listen to Cookie there with his insights. And look, there's doom and gloom about it, I accept that, but there's also glimmers of hope. And just reading through the squad list of the players that we have got in there, and let's be positive about this, there is still a good Rovers team to be had on the park on Saturday for this. And you know, some of the names in there are familiar names to us, so there's no reason for us to be down on a, you know, downbeat before we even kick a ball on Saturday. Let's roll the sleeves. Let's work, you know, even harder. Let's go at them. Let's give them a really good game. And, you know, we've got good insight on them from a couple of weeks ago. We know their attacking prowess. We know where the threats are going to be from. Let's, you know, let's plan for dealing with that. And then let's try and come up with a game plan where we can execute that with the assets that we've got on the field to us. So, yeah, it's going to be tough. I accept that. But as Cookie alluded to there, we've got a great opportunity to just go hell for leather, 80 minutes, and see where we end up. Putting a really good, strong performance, give people, you know, the belief back that we have got a team that can compete, that we haven't put the queue on the rack for the season, and let's, you know, let's give it a good go. Because if not, you know, very quickly, within a couple of weeks, people could be writing the season off. We've got Wakefield next as well, and look, they got a, I won't say a freak result, but they've got a result on at the weekend against Leeds. Are they on the up? They're, I was just reading there that they've got a few players coming back in as well. So they'll be fancying their chances next weekend. So if we come on the wrong end of a defeat to Salford, and look, who knows what will happen against Wakefield, it could be a tough last 10, 11 games of the season for us. Let's not think like that. Let's go hell for leather. Both games, let's put us back on that positive footing, get a bit of belief back in the boys, back in the stands, etc. And let's, you know, let's keep looking upward. Let's not look downward and be all sad about what's going on. We've just got to get on with it. We saw at the very back end of last season when we were down on troops and we had to go across the river with 16 bodies that we can get results when we need to, you know, in adverse situations. So this for me feels like a similar time to that, where we're going through it tough. Other clubs will go through it tough, as Cookie alluded to there, and we've just got to ride this one out and hope that our time comes good in the future, and other teams, when it's their turn to be down on troops for whatever reason, that we can take advantage of that and pick our results up and put us back in the shape for the end of season.
Yeah, squad news ahead of Saturday. Tom Opacic, he's back in the UK. He's named in the squad for the game. Rowan Milnes, he's a welcome addition to the squad. He will hopefully be playing on Saturday. And new guy, Tanguy Zenon, signed on loan from the Catalan Dragons on a two-week loan deal. He's played twice for the Dragons this season in Super League. Interesting signing, I suppose, Graham. A lot of supporters will be looking at Phoenix Lohai Tuhai to wonder why he's not been given the opportunity to play at fullback. But obviously, a player coming over here with huge amount of potential. He's here for 2 weeks. It may be extended depending on what happens with the Lachlan Coote situation. Bazza on YouTube, he's put watching Coote at Magic. It felt as if he was holding back, not fully committed into tackles. Or when he was attacking, it felt as if he was nervous of getting a head knock. I think he should call it a day, but there'd be no shame in it whatsoever, as his life is much more important than a game of rugby. Lachlan Coote is going to see a specialist very soon, I think in the next 5 or 6 days. That will probably determine what happens with Lachlan Coote going forward. I know Willie Peters has said that there is no pressure from the club, but I suppose, you know, if you look at the business side, a decision does have to be made. Are you excited about Tanguy Zenon? I suppose he's a bit raw, isn't he? His English isn't apparently great, and he only started training with Robins on Wednesday, so he's got a lot to learn very quickly. But I suppose there's some raw talent there. And one thing that the team is lacking at the moment is a bit of pace as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's like you say, he's played a couple of games for Catalan. I think one of them was at Wigan or Warrington, something like that, early in the season, Wakefield perhaps. So he's got a little taste of Super League experience. The club speak highly of him. So, you know, Willie Peters has sort of mentioned that he's sort of spoken with Steve McNamara about it, who speaks well about him. So, look, it's going to benefit everybody, I think, this in for us in the short term. If it is only a short-term thing, then it gives us another body. It gives him some experience at this particular level, which I'm sure he and his club will ultimately benefit from. So, yeah, let's see what happens. Like many, I had to jump on Google and do a little bit of research to find out a little bit about him. It's not a name that I was aware of, and I don't suppose many fans will be. But look, let's hope that he comes in, puts his best foot forward, gives him a good account of himself for the 2 weeks or however long it may be. And yeah, who knows what will happen to him in the future.
Yeah, Ryan Milnes, huge addition to the squad.
Yeah, again, it's, you alluded to it with Cookie there, and round pegs, square holes, round pegs, whichever analogy you want to use. But again, somebody who can partner up with Lewis potentially in those halves and give us that stability and guide us around the park, which we've seen him do before earlier on in the season, similar to the way that Jordan has done. You've mentioned it earlier in the season, Johnny, about you like Ron Mills and seeing him play in that particular position when he had the opportunity when Abdul first got his injury, was a chance for him. Then unfortunately he injured himself. But again, he can bring that calmness to proceedings. He's okay with ball in hand. He's still a strong lad as well with ball in hand to run at it as well. And he's got a deft little kicking game as well, which I think we could use to our advantage. So yeah, they'll be working hard all week to plan for having Rowan Mills in the halves, I'm sure. And look, what does our game plan look on the back of that? Well, we'll have to wait and see. But let's hope it's a positive approach we take. Let's hope we go after them rather than waiting to see what they've got to us. Because, you know, Cookie alluded to it, that they're one of the best teams at getting out to an edge quickly. And then, yeah, it's all on. We saw at Magic how exposed we were at times, going right and left, and the quality that they've got in there. How do we work hard to be able to shut that down and impose ourselves on the game?
Yeah, it's going to be a really fascinating contest, and we'll see if Senior gets a spot. Cookie, you know, he's none the wiser as to why he's not been given the opportunity yet. Whether we see him on Saturday, who knows? He's named in the squad. We do just seem with Tanguy Zenon coming into the side, Tom Opacic returning, Ryan Milnes, we do seem a bit more balanced, don't we? And there's more square pegs in square holes. We're not playing people out of position necessarily, which is never a good sign. But we do seem to have a bit more balance in that squad on Saturday night. I'm really looking forward to the game. I think Salford are playing really well. It's daunting in one aspect. You know, you see what they did to us at Magic Weekend. You've seen what they've done in previous games. You know, red hot form at the moment. They're pretty much at full strength. Only Andy Akers and Shane Wright are missing for them. So it is going to be a really exciting encounter on Saturday.
Yeah, and I think we got off lightly at Magic. I think in the discussion you had there that we could have been easily double digit points down at Magic. We weren't. We hung in there. You know, maybe it was because of the way we defended. Scramble was decent, but you know, Salford weren't great in attack first off. But the opportunities that they will provide, you know, if they've got a first choice, 1, 6, 7, etc., we know what they can do. So we've got to expect that they will be on good form and playing that particular way. So we're aware of it. We shouldn't be surprised by any of that. So we've got to prepare, we've got to deal with it properly. And like you say, there's a bit more balance in the squad. And when you look at the list of names, we've still got the likes of the Opacic, Kenny Dowells, Ryan Holes, Matt Parcells, Minchellas, etc., etc. So we've still got a good group of players in there. We should be positive about that group. Our confidence might be a little low at the minute, but let's build them up. Let's give them every backing that we can from the crowd on the afternoon. And let's give them that support that they need. And who knows, look, it might be the extra spurt they need to get over the line on Saturday. So let's hope for a positive experience.
Yeah, and that is a really important point to make, Graeme, that, you know, we've mentioned it on the podcast previously, the supporters can make a difference. You know, don't get me wrong, these lads are doing it tough, but they need to feel like they've got the crowd behind them. They need the crowd making noise, and they need us you know, to us to dig deep as well to get them over the line. So, look, I hope it's a good crowd on Saturday. The weather is going to be sunny. It's going to be a lovely day to go watch rugby league. There's two other games taking place. I think the girls and the 15s and then the academy side are also playing. So it's promising to be a real feast of rugby league. The game is being broadcast on Viaplay as well. So it's got all the makings of a really good cup game, a really good day of rugby league. And I am, for one, looking forward to it. And I am, my glasses is half full, Graham. I'm looking to Saturday. This is where we turn it around. This is where we get the result we need. We've got Wakefield up next. We start putting that runner results together that we need to propel us up the table into that third, fourth, second spot.
Yeah, no time like the present, John. It's always the next game that's the important one. So what's gone on has gone on. The next game is important. And like I said, the noise that the crowd can create can play a huge difference in outcomes. And even to the extent of, I've sort of seen it, I'm sure others have as well, around the noise you can create, certainly from the knee stand perspective. The opposition players can't communicate effectively with each other. If they're talking to each other and we're drowning them out with noise, that's going to benefit us surely rather than them. So if it's like a morgue, then they can just communicate effectively with each other, run all the players they want. But if we're making enough noise that they can't hear themselves talking to each other, that hopefully can be the extra 18th chair that we can put on and be that extra player on the pitch for them, just to help them out. They're not going to benefit from us being quiet and off par. We need to be noisy, loud. Look, win this game and you're 18 minutes away from Wembley. Lose this game, Wembley's another year away. So that's the aspiration for many players is to walk out at Wembley in a Challenge Cup final. Lose this game, you don't get that opportunity for another season. Okay, it's not like getting back on the horse week in, week out with Super League. So let's give it our everything, both players on the field, the staff, coaching staff, behind the scenes, etc., and importantly, the fans in the stand as well.
100%. Let's have it. And very quickly, Graham, before we finish, the club held its very first ever supporters council meeting only a few days ago. The minutes from that have been published. The group, the people in attendance at the meeting were Paul Lakin, Craig Franklin, who was the Chief Operating Officer, Craig Shepherd from the Foundation, and there was also a number of representatives from the North Stand, West Stand, 19 to 30-year-old representative, disabled supporters, etc., etc. Nothing really startling to come out of that meeting, other than that supporters will no longer be able to transition from Craven Street to the North Stand via the East Stand. The club are looking at developing a new training complex behind the South Stand, which will be for the first team and academy, although that is still in the very, very early stages. At the moment, the extending the East Stand is not a priority and it's not something the club are looking at. It's good, Graham, that supporters have got the opportunity to voice their opinions, and it's important to remember that these people are representing the supporters. So if there is something you're not happy about, there's something you want to suggest, you've got an avenue that you can get in touch with these and they'll take it to the meeting where important people are listening. Paul Lakin, Craig Franklin, Craig Shepherd, you know, people who can actually do something about it.
Yeah, really important. You've got, like you said there, with Paul, Craig and Craig, you've got the ears of senior people within the club and certainly with Craig at the Foundation as well. So there's no better ears to be able to talk into. And I guess for fans' benefits, understanding the role of that council is key. So it's not just going to be a moaning shop where people fire off about the price of a pint, for example. It's about practical,
although that was one of the things discussed.
It's one of those routes into the club where you have got a voice, and if it's done in a structured, constructive way, then changes can be considered and possibly implemented. So, you know, look, an expansion to the East Stand isn't going to happen overnight. It'll be part of a wider stadium redevelopment plan, I'm sure, that the club are identifying over the coming years. But there might be some things in the here and now that fans think could be better. And if the club are made aware of them through the right channels, then, look, there's an opportunity to be able to change that. If it's, you know, as daft as it sounds, it could be around access to toilets, quality of toilet facilities for both male, female, and accessible facilities as well, to cater for all users. So it could be around the price of the beer, whatever it is. But I think it's a real positive step that the club are looking to do. I guess the proof of the pudding is, you know, what will actually change, and does it, you know, does it serve a purpose for the fans, or is it a tick box exercise that the club are looking to say we've got this in place for you know, regrading purposes in the future? I'm sure it'll be the former rather than the latter, but we have got a voice, we have got an opportunity, and yeah, use the representatives there to make constructive suggestions and let them be able to debate and take them forward with those senior club officials, and then look, we'll see where we get to.
Yeah, as ever, Graham, it's been a pleasure. This is the Red Robin Podcast Weekly, powered by 360 Chartered Accountants and Budget Size Auto Centre. If you're going to the game on Saturday, be loud, be proud and back the boys. And for now, live, love, laugh and be happy.